What's up, everybody? This is Jalen Short, aka Head Honcho, and I am back with another episode of the Head Honcho Sports Podcast here in season two. Today, we have a lot to talk about, guys, especially within the NFL. We have a lot of trades going on. They're still being announced, you know, every single, you know, couple of minutes. Teams are making some big moves. Dallas Cowboys, you know, they made a big move. The Chicago Bears, man, my Bears, you know, being a Bears fan, we definitely are going to be better this season, this upcoming season. So I'm excited to talk about that. We have Aaron Rodgers still holding out. You know, everyone knows how Aaron Rodgers is. You know, he's I wouldn't call him a prima donna, but he's kind of, you know, kind of one of those guys where he just wants the spotlight. You know, everyone knows that. He's kind of holding out, but everyone is leaning towards him signing with the New York Jets. And a lot of other stuff, guys. We're gonna get into it. We're definitely gonna talk about it all today. And we're gonna touch on some NBA games as well. We're gonna see how the rest of the season is looking in the NBA. We're gonna talk about who should be the MVP, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, all of that. It's gonna be a great episode, guys. So hope you stay tuned and let's get right into it. But let's talk about my Chicago Bears. Everyone knows, all the listeners out there, I'm a big Bears fan, being from the city of Chicago. We signed, oh man, I'm getting excited just trying to talk about it right now. We signed Tremaine Edmonds. We signed TJ Edwards. We signed Nate Davis. And we signed DJ Moore. We still have $50 million left in cap space. I thought we were going to get, well, everyone is speculating that Orlando Brown Jr. is going to sign with the Chicago Bears in the next, you know, maybe few hours or maybe day or so. But Adam Schefter was talking about how Orlando Brown Jr. is seen by everyone as a right tackle, but he wants left tackle money. And left tackle is kind of the one of the premier positions in football, you know. So with him wanting left tackle money, it's going to be kind of tough for the Bears, you know, because I think we still want more pieces, especially coming in this draft. And, you know, we might want to add more pieces on the defensive line in free agency. But nonetheless, we still have great, great guys, man. TJ Edwards coming off a Super Bowl appearance, NFC champion for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's going to be tremendous for us. And Nate Davis, guard from the Tennessee Titans, he's going to be tremendous. He's a very, very grinded out kind of guy. You know, he wants to get physical, gets his hands dirty in the trenches. So a guy like that, we definitely need him on the offensive line to protect Justin Fields and Tremaine Edmonds. This guy's played 5 years in the National Football League. 5 years. And he's only 24 years old. He's going to be 25 this upcoming season. Tremendous by Ryan Poles. Ryan Poles is a magician. He has been on the phone. I can imagine he's been on the phone nonstop, trying to get guys, trying to get deals done. If it doesn't make sense to him, obviously he's not going to do it. But with these deals that we made these last few days, it's been great, man. The Chicago Bears are definitely on the rise. We're definitely going to compete for the divisional championship this season. Justin Fields is going to continue to get better. That defense, you know, I saw on Twitter where someone sent me a picture of the back end of the Chicago Bears defense this upcoming season, and it honestly doesn't look bad. You have outside linebacker Jack Sanborn coming off his rookie season. He was tremendous. I mean, this I love. I think this is one of the guys that I love the most. Not even because he's a Chicago Bear, but he just plays like a middle linebacker. He's very instinctive. He flies around. He always finds the ball, man. And he's so smart to be a rookie. It's crazy. I'm so glad that he's in the Chicago Bears uniform. But outside linebacker Jack Sanborn, TJ Edwards in middle linebacker, Tremaine Edmonds in outside linebacker, cornerback Jalen Johnson. He was great for us last season. You know, he definitely struggled in some parts, but overall, I believe he's, you know, maybe top 15 corner in this league. Eddie Jackson, safety, one of the better safeties in the National Football League. Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon coming off their rookie seasons, looking to build on that. And they definitely showed some promise last season. You know, Kyler Gordon kind of got off to a rocky start, I would say. But, you know, towards the end of the season, he definitely started playing very, very well. And, you know, like I said, they both showed promise. But Kyler Gordon definitely made strides to make his case to be the Chicago Bears' future number one cornerback. So With those seven guys on the back end of the defense, it's gonna be crazy. I mean, I just can't wait to watch Chicago Bears football. You know, it's been a long time coming, man. We finally got our franchise quarterback, the face of the franchise, in Justin Fields. We finally got a defense that can compete, especially on the back end, you know, with this being a pass-heavy league now. And it's going to be interesting to see, man. It's especially competing in the NFC North. It's going to be very, very interesting because Aaron Rodgers is likely leaving, like I said, to the New York Jets. So the Packers, they're going to have Jordan Leavitt quarterback. Alan Lazard signed with the Jets earlier today. So the division is open. I mean, I love the Detroit Lions, man. You know, as a Chicago Bears fan, I almost hate saying that. But I like that team, man. Dan Campbell has galvanized that locker room. Dan Campbell made guys believe and buy in into the system that he's preaching and into the things that he's preaching. So the Detroit Lions are going to definitely be tough. But, you know, the Minnesota Vikings as well, they've taken a step back. So, you know, because this past season, they lost against the New York Giants. And that was, you know, it was very upsetting for Minnesota Vikings fans, I would assume, because they had a great record. I mean, they played very, very well. Besides those three blowout losses against, I believe it was the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, and I forgot the last one, but I would imagine that they were very, very upset. So this division is open. You know, it's definitely open for the taking. I do believe that the Bears can be the Jacksonville Jaguars of last season, you know, becoming from one of the worst teams in the NFL to one of the best teams in the NFL. You know, maybe I would say a double-digit win season, maybe. But, you know, who knows, man? I mean, all we have to do is compete. I hope and I pray everyone stays healthy, because that's going to be the key, just staying healthy, everyone playing to the best of their abilities. And, you know, we're just going to go out and compete. But Ryan Poles has definitely done a great job thus far. We're going to see how many more moves they make, especially, you know, with these the upcoming days. But besides from, you know, the Chicago Bears, the Seahawks are bringing back defensive tackle Jerron Reed on a 2-year deal worth $10 million. The Dallas Cowboys are bringing back Van Der Esch, you know, a solid middle linebacker, 2-year deal on $11 million. The Colts, interesting, they're trading away Stephon Gilmore to the Dallas Cowboys. That was a shocking deal for a 5th-round pick. You know, Indianapolis Colts, they're not really a good football team. So it made sense that they wanted to get rid of Stephon Gilmore. You know, in his last, I do think Stephon Gilmore has more good football to play, but it's only maybe 2 or 3 years. He's kind of older in age. You know, he's that veteran guy that you want in your locker room. Another shocking one, Giants. They've acquired tight end Darren Waller from the Las Vegas Raiders. That New York Giants defense, I mean, excuse me, the New York Giants offense with Darren Waller now, with Saquon Barkley, with Daniel Jones, with Sterling Shepard, that's going to be a very, very great offense, especially with them having a solid offensive line. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how they bounce back this season and, you know, maybe compete, maybe go further than a divisional round, you know. And because the Philadelphia Eagles, I believe they're going to take a step back because they're trading away guys. Javon Hargrave is a San Francisco 49er now. T.J. Edwards is a Chicago Bear. So with those guys leaving, I think it's going to be very, very open for the New York Giants to compete in that NFC East division. But the Saints are signing back Michael Thomas, and the Vikings, they brought back Garrett Bradbury, center. He's a very solid center, 3-year deal worth $15 million. James Bradbury signed back with the Eagles. It's been a lot of moves, guys. I'm just saying all the moves now, saying all the trades and the re-signings. It's, you know, I think what's interesting, what's going to be interesting for the New England Patriots, they gave up Jacoby Myers, and that I knew that he was going to leave, but I just thought the New England Patriots were going to, you know, maybe just try to structure a deal, try to do something, because Jacoby Myers is a solid wide receiver. He signed with the Las Vegas Raiders. So, you know, moving forward, all of these teams, you know, they definitely have been some great moves. But, you know, it's talking about the Chicago Bears again, I believe we're one or two O-linemen away from competing, you know, for competing for a playoff spot, ultimately. So, going back to Orlando Brown as well, I mean, do we want to see him in a Chicago Bears uniform? Yes, but we don't want to see Ryan Poles overpay him. It's obviously going to be, it's very touch and go because, like I said, Orlando Brown wants left tackle money, and I don't know if you can really give him that at this point. You know, he's coming off a Super Bowl appearance, coming off a game where they were going against arguably one of the best pass rushes in the last, you know, decade, in the Philadelphia Eagles, and they didn't allow any sacks. Obviously, it's not just Orlando Brown, but he was a part of that. So, you know, it's going to, you know, Ryan Poles, I trust him. You know, with these moves, I definitely trust Ryan Poles now. He's been, you know, on the money, definitely on the money. But I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers as well, guys. You know, I mentioned that he was kind of, you know, he's one of the guys that wants all the attention on him. He's going on the Pat McAfee show tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern time. You know, we know he's going to talk about what he wants, and he's already mentioned to the New York Jets that he wants guys like Mercedes Lewis, Alan Lazard, who they already signed. They want Randall Cobb as well. Well, he wants Randall Cobb as well to be a part of that New York Jets offense. And, you know, I mean, ultimately, Aaron Rodgers, he's still a great quarterback. I mean, obviously, the New York Jets are going to try to do whatever to get him. But, I mean, come on, man. Like, are you serious? Like, what more do you want? You're just saying you want all these guys on top of all of these guys that the New York Jets already have in Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, and you just want to take all of these guys and just, you know, try to compete for a Super Bowl. And honestly, that's Aaron Rodgers' MO. You know, he wants everyone. He wants a for sure thing. That's what he wants. He wants a for sure thing. He doesn't want any speculation. He doesn't want any, you know, turmoil. He definitely wants to just be, you know, just have a complete offense, and like he didn't have this past season with Green Bay. So, you know, moving forward for Darius Slay, I honestly thought that Darius Slay was going to be gone by now for the Philadelphia Eagles. But the Dallas Cowboys, they wanted him. But, you know, it seems as if Philly is desperate at this point. And I'm sorry I'm pausing a lot, guys. I'm just reading these trades and things like that. But Philly is kind of desperate to move Darius Slay, I noticed. And it's I don't know why. Because Darius Slay has a lot of great football left. I mean, he was tremendous last year for the Philadelphia Eagles. So I don't know why they want to move him. But if the Bears want to, I mean, I know we're set on the back end, in my opinion, with Kyler Gordon and with Jalen Johnson. But, you know, we can throw a fourth rounder in there and maybe get Darius Slay. Who knows? I mean, who knows what can happen? The Philadelphia Eagles are definitely trying to move Darius Slay, though, and I completely don't understand why. Eric Kendricks, former Minnesota Viking, he has signed with the Los Angeles Chargers. And DeMarcus Walker, he has signed with the Chicago Bears as well. I forgot to mention him, from the Tennessee Titans as well. And, you know, ultimately, guys, there are going to be a lot of moves made. You know, this definitely isn't the end. It's going to be moves after this episode. It's going to be moves tomorrow. You know, it's going to be a lot. And, you know, moving forward, this season is going to be great. It's definitely going to be great. It's going to be very, very interesting to see. Andy Dalton, I forgot to mention him as well. He has signed with the Carolina Panthers. And I think that's honestly a good signing for Carolina, because more than likely they're going to take a quarterback with the number one pick, whether it be Stroud, whether it be Bryce Young, whether it be, you know, Anthony Richardson. And I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they pick Anthony Richardson. I really don't think they will, but I would not be surprised, because what he showed at the combine was just tremendous. But like I said in the last episode, guys, if you haven't listened to it, go check that out. C.J. Stroud is the most NFL-ready quarterback, in my opinion, right now, to step in as a day one starter. So I think that you take Stroud, but Andy Dalton is kind of your security blanket. If that, you know, rookie quarterback doesn't work out, you can insert a guy like Andy Dalton to, you know, just be, like I said, a security blanket, just all-reliable, so to speak. But it's, you know, Hunter Renfrow for the Raiders. You have Devontae Adams, Josh Jacobs, Jacoby Myers. They traded away Darren Waller, but, you know, and I think the Raiders are going to take a quarterback in the first round as in the first round as well. In the first, 10 picks. They might take Will Levis. They might take a guy like Anthony Richardson. Who knows? But whoever steps in that quarterback role is definitely going to have some weapons. And, you know, moving forward, Darren Waller is going to be a great, great addition for the New York Giants. But moving to the NBA, guys, and we might come back to the NFL, if there's a trade happening or if that someone is signing, we might come back. But right now we're going to move to the NBA. I want to talk about last night's game between the Sacramento Kings and the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo, I mean, I can't say enough about that guy, man. He's one of my favorite players in the NBA. He's been tremendous. The Milwaukee Bucks are definitely hitting their stride right now. They're 20-2 over the last 22 games. They've been tremendous. Giannis had 46 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists last night. And he's been dominant, man. Chris Middleton had 31 points, 9 assists. Brooke Lopez added 23 points, 8 rebounds. Giannis, he's just been dominant, like I said, man. No one can stop him. He's the most dominant player in the league. If he didn't miss those games with that wrist injury, I honestly would have picked him for my MVP. But, you know, moving forward, I think Joel Embiid should get it because he hasn't really got one. He hasn't got one, in these past few years. But I think last year he should have won it over Nikola Jokic. But Joel Embiid has been, other than Giannis Antetokounmpo, he has been the most dominant player in the league. No one has an answer for him. No one can stop him. So I definitely think that Joel should win the MVP this year. But the Bucks, like I said, they're hitting their stride right now. 20-2 over the last 22 games. Winning against the Sacramento Kings. Speaking of the Sacramento Kings, they've been playing tremendous this season. Mike Brown, definitely my coach of the year. The way he's coaching those guys, man, Mike Brown is from that old school era of coaches. He coached LeBron James and, in that Cleveland Cavaliers unit for years and years, 07, 06, 08, for years and years, he coached in that era. So it's crazy because he doesn't have that old school mindset. Guys like Malik Monk, guys like De'Aaron Fox, he lets those guys hoop and they're pure hoopers. It's like Malik Monk, I mean, coming off the bench, man, he arguably can be the sixth man of the year. He comes in, does what's needed. And like I said, they're pure hoopers, bro. Like, they just go out, they hoop, they don't care who they're playing. And that's most young guys in this league, but the Sacramento Kings are kind of taking on their identity. Like the Memphis Grizzlies, they just don't care who they're playing. I think they resemble the Memphis Grizzlies of last year, because last year Memphis, they didn't care who they were up against. They just went out there and hooped. And they definitely were like a tight-knit group who actually believed in one another. And I think that's what you see in the Sacramento Kings right now. Just because of, like I said, Mike Brown, galvanizing that locker room and making guys buy into what he's ultimately selling. They're the third seed right now. Memphis is still the second seed. They're a game behind Memphis. If the playoffs were to start right now, the Los Angeles Clippers would play the Sacramento Kings. And I think that would end bad for the Sacramento Kings, because the Los Angeles Clippers, man, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, I mean, that's tough. It's going to be tough to stop the Los Angeles Clippers if they were to play them in the first round. And I do think it would end six games, maybe even five, with a team like the Los Angeles Clippers. So Sacramento, I do think that maybe they can scrape by and get in the second round. I don't, because in the Western Conference, there are a lot of great teams in the bottom of the conference. From 4-10, it's tough. Phoenix in fourth, Golden State in fifth, the Clippers in sixth, Minnesota 7th, Dallas is 8th, the Lakers are 9th, the Pelicans are 10th. It's going to be tough. Whoever they go against in that first round, it's going to be tough beating them. So they might, put up a fight, but I honestly think they're going to have a first round exit in their playoff run, just because they don't have enough experience, in my opinion, and they just don't have enough talent to compete with big name guys, like, especially for the Lakers. If LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and those guys are healthy, with D'Angelo Russell now, Jared Vanderbilt, Malik Beasley, if they're healthy, and Mo Bamba as well, I believe the Lakers will win that series, especially with the Clippers as well, like I just talked about. I think the Pelicans will beat the Sacramento Kings as well. The Mavericks, I think they would beat the Sacramento Kings as well. Golden State will as well. I mean, I think that the Kings are just, this has just been a great year for them. And even if they get bounced in the first round, this will be a great year nonetheless. It will be a great year regardless because of where they've come from. They haven't had a 40-win season since 2006. So from where they've come from to now, it's been tremendous. But holistically, in the entire league, Miami has been very disappointing. You heard Jimmy Butler last night or two nights ago say, you know, he doesn't really care that he got a technical foul for walking off the court before the end of the game against the Orlando Magic. They've just not performed well at all. And they're three games back of the sixth seed, the New York Knicks. And, you know, Jimmy is getting frustrated. You know, I don't know what's really going on in Miami right now. I do think they need another bucket getter because Jimmy can't do all the scoring. You know, Bam Adebayo, he's not a guy that can go get you, you know, 35 any given night. I don't think he's that guy. He's that guy who fills in spaces. He's a guy who can get you 20 and 10 easily. But asking Bam Adebayo to get you 35 points almost every game, that's a lot. Especially a guy that, you know, makes his mark on the defensive end as well. So in Tyler Herro, he hasn't really played up to his potential. He's definitely been, you know, a little lackluster this season. And I believe it starts with him on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think he can really guard that well. But, you know, like I said, Miami has just been very disappointing. The New York Knicks are playing great basketball right now. The Brooklyn Nets are definitely surprising a lot of people. They're tied with New York. They're tied with the Knicks for the sixth seed. And the Brooklyn Nets, I thought that they were going to, you know, kind of go downhill because of that trade with the Phoenix Suns, you know, Kevin Durant going to the Suns. I thought they were going to, you know, slip and fall maybe to the eighth or ninth seed, but Mikal Bridges has been playing outstanding. Lights out, man. I mean, he's definitely the NBA's Iron Man. He hasn't missed a game in his entire career. They played tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And he, like I said, a guy like that, man, who just goes out and hoops. He doesn't care who he's playing against. And he's expressed that he's very, very happy in Brooklyn right now. He's had 36-point games, 33-point games, 25-point games. I mean, he's definitely loving this Brooklyn Nets organization, this Brooklyn Nets team. And you can tell, you know, Cam Johnson as well, Dorian Finney-Smith, Nick Claxton, Spencer Dinwiddie. These guys, they remind me of the Brooklyn Nets before Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving got there. That unit with Spencer Dinwiddie, D'Angelo Russell, Jared Dudley, those guys, they weren't big names, but they played so well together that they got wins. And I can see this Brooklyn Nets group doing something similar to that because, like I said, they're tied for the sixth seed. If the playoffs were to start right now, they would play the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, I mean, I think that would be a first-round exit for them, but I definitely do think they will compete, especially Mikal Bridges playing the way he's playing. But I do think Jacque Vaughn should implement Cam Thomas more. The games he's played, he's dropped 40. I don't know why you sit a guy like that who can just his instant offense for you. He's kind of a microwave. Comes in and just immediately starts scoring. But it has to be an underlying issue for Cam Thomas. Maybe he doesn't stick defense. Maybe he doesn't guard players. Maybe he's not really learning the offense. Maybe he's just going out there and doing what he wants to do. Who knows? But ultimately, everyone sees he's not playing. And it's puzzling everyone. So moving forward for Boston, though, they lost last night against the Houston Rockets. Wasn't a good loss for them. Jaylen Brown had 43 points. But I don't think Boston is peaking at the right time right now. They've had some struggles as of late. But Philadelphia is one game back of Boston. You know, if Boston loses, you know, maybe two out of the next, you know, three or four games, or three out of the next four games, I mean, Philly can ultimately, you know, move into the two spot, and Boston can move to three and play a team like the New York Knicks or like the Brooklyn Nets. And that's going to be tough because the New York Knicks, they're definitely going to play you tough. They beat them, I believe that was last week or maybe earlier. Yeah, I think that was last week. But, you know, a team like the Knicks, they're definitely going to play you tough. So I wouldn't want Boston to fall to the third spot. But they're just not peaking at the right time right now. And I think that the Milwaukee Bucks are definitely peaking at the right time. That's why I think they're one of the best teams in the league, if not the best team in the league. And I do think they have a great, great chance of winning the NBA championship this year. if no injuries happen. But they're going to definitely end up playing a team like the Philadelphia 76ers or the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. And we're going to see what happens, obviously. But I'm definitely looking forward to that. And Denver, they're still the first seed in the West. They're five games ahead of, you know, the second place. Memphis Grizzlies. Memphis Grizzlies have won three in a row, by the way. But Denver, with Nikola Jokic playing the way he's playing and playing at MVP level, it's hard to see them not making it to the Western Conference Finals against whoever, you know. And I do think they have a chance to go to the finals. And like I said in the last episode, Nikola Jokic has to get them over the hump this season. There's no excuses now. He might be a three-time MVP after this season, so you have to get him over the hump. You have to, because if you don't, a lot of questions are going to come as far as what you're capable of and how you lead a team, and, you know, if he's just quote-unquote in it for the awards. And everyone knows that Nikola Jokic doesn't care about awards, but that's a question that's definitely going to come up. But, you know, it's the Defensive Player of the Year. I did want to talk about all the awards. Defensive Player of the Year, I think Brooke Lopez should be in it. I definitely think that Bam Adebayo should be in it as well. Guys like that who can guard maybe 1-5. No, excuse me, Brooke Lopez can't guard 1-5, but he's kind of like a brick wall. He's block shots, deflects, you know, shots. It's great to see what he's doing. He challenges everyone at the rim. Jaren Jackson Jr. as well. He's kind of that rim protector for the Memphis Grizzlies. Definitely excited to see, like, he's like coming into that role, because at first I didn't think he was that great of a shot blocker, but I think he takes pride in that now, takes pride on the defensive side of the floor. Evan Mobley, like I said, Bam Adebayo, OG Anunoby, guys like that who can defend at a high level. And as of right now, I do think Brooke Lopez should get it. And if he gets it, that's going to be very, very great for the Milwaukee Bucks. That's going to be a confidence booster for the entire team, not just for Brooke Lopez. Because knowing that you have an anchor on your defense in the paint, ready to challenge every shot, ready to block every shot, that's kind of, it gives you a sense of, all right, I know if I get blown, if the offensive player blows by me, I know I have help at the rim. So Brooke Lopez definitely has been playing great this season. But guys, it's, you know, the NFL, going back to the NFL, I don't see any trades that just happened this far, any signings that just happened. I'm talking about the NBA, but the Bears, they're going to be great, you know. And a team that I think is going to shock everyone will be the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos, they signed Mike McGlinchey and they signed Ben Powers. They're definitely paying attention to that offensive line so they can protect Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson definitely had a down year this past season, but moving forward, I do think that they're going to be in that. It's tough in that division, man. You have Las Vegas, Denver, Kansas City, and you have the Los Angeles Chargers. In that division, it's going to be very, very tough to get wins, but they might be capable because of their personnel. Like I said, with the offensive line that they have now, Russell Wilson is going to be back. He's going to be playing well. KJ Hamler, Jerry Jeudy, you know, guys like that. Cortland Sutton. He has weapons. Russell Wilson has weapons like last year, but he just didn't do anything with them. He kind of had a very, very subpar year. But I do think they can definitely compete for some wins. You know, maybe double digit wins. Maybe, you know, maybe like a 10-7, you know, kind of year. But we'll definitely see what happens though. With that being said, guys, it's the end of the show. I enjoy talking to all the listeners out there. And make sure you guys follow my Twitter page and follow my Instagram page. I will keep you guys posted on trades, on signings, things of that nature. I will definitely post a lot of updates as far as college hoops as well, college football as well. And I will link those in the description as well, guys. But that's the end of the show. I will see you guys next week. Peace out.